my brother John. Oh, you're talking while I was talking there. Let me try that again. It's my brother John.
See, I didn't interrupt you that time.
I know, you were very good. Very good indeed.
I'm going to have to stop doing that.
Well, I don't know.
Not good. Good is not good.
Okay. Well, look, hey, I saw how you're dressed. You sent me a picture, and I have to say, those colors are just brilliant. That's a really good-looking T-shirt you got on there.
Yeah, the shirt works. Hey, you know what I didn't have in the doggone picture?
What's that?
A cup.
Oh, you got a brochure cup, too, don't you?
Yeah.
I had to give all mine away.
Jimmy, you don't have one to use for the show?
I do not, unfortunately. It was Christmas time, and I wanted to see that all the people who helped us with the show got to have a cup.
I saved one for myself. Somebody got cut out. Sorry.
Don't apologize to me.
No, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing to the person who got cut off, whoever they are. I don't even know.
Well, they're probably listening.
They are. If they aren't, I'm going to remind them that they will be mentioned just by me saying sorry. That's all it is. That covers a lot of territory.
Well, evidently, this show is going to be one of those or something like that. I'm not sure what to expect here. I'm a little nervous. Oh. I'll tell you the truth. I'm nervous.
Why? You don't have control like you normally do, Mr. Producer.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. Wow. That was loaded. Man, okay. All right. So, first of all, since you didn't ask, I am wearing two T-shirts.
Really?
I'm wearing Clark Street Live Performance, which is one of my favorite T-shirts, red. But I am also wearing my Abbey Road Beatles T-shirt that my daughter gave me.
Okay. And,
go ahead, ask why. You should know. You should know, actually.
I should know.
Okay, here's why. 55 years ago this week, the Beatles came to America.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I'm in Hamburg.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You're reading History of Rock and Roll. Are you really in Hamburg?
Yep. Oh, and I've got a book about hamburgers, and I realize that's where they come from.
Yeah, that is. Actually, yeah. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Who knew, right? Good. What's the weather like, John?
Well, it is 35 degrees, sunny, to get up to 50. It's resort weather here. I mean, I'm going to put my shorts on and going to be kicking my heels.
Jeez.
Right now, I don't have any pants on, but that sounds like you.
Yeah, it does sound like me. Oh, that's the truth. I haven't looked today. What am I wearing in the wear of exotic underwear? Wow. I'm wearing those iridescent, nearly iridescent pink bikinis that a listener gave me.
Ooh.
I'm not allowed to identify her. So I can't.
Sounds like an admirer.
I think it might be. it's hard to tell. I know she's an admirer.
Okay.
I can't say anything more
about it. If you said it's hard to tell, I'm afraid that's dissing her. You've got to be nicer.
I feel like I'm dissing her by not naming her, but she is not asked me not to name her, but I think I should not name her. And we had a talk about it, so I feel it's the right thing not to name, but
it's a no-name admirer, okay? Give her a nickname, no-name.
No-name. I'm trying to obfuscate the truth. That's why I was kind of dancing around a little earlier about this. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't do it, but I have to do it. I'm not good at lying anymore. You know that.
Yeah. You know, once you get out of practice, it's so hard to get back in the swing of things. It's really not worth it.
Well, I've discovered you need hormones in order to really lie.
Lying is so tiring. I mean,
it's exhausting.
It can be. And then you got to work on the wordsmithing. Because you want to make laughing your craft.
You have to remember your lies.
What you try to do as a Daniels is you try to figure out a way to lie that doesn't sound like a lie. And then you can actually say, wait a minute, I didn't lie. You couch the words in a certain way.
You parse the words for their hidden meanings, which don't exist.
Yeah. It's just in our mind only.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, I'm not sure I am a Daniels anymore. I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It is a problem.
I mean, it's not a problem if you're not a Daniels. That's not a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm a little troubled by all this, so we have to move on.
So what do we have? We've got a shirt. We've got a cup. Do we have a sponsor?
We have a sponsor called Gorilla Glue. If you want something stuck, then you need Gorilla Glue.
If you're stuck, you don't need Gorilla Glue.
Correct. It's kind of like if you're not disturbed, you don't need Do Not Disturb on your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. We discovered that earlier today.
Oh, I can hardly wait for us to give the full read on this one.
I know, you're excited.
It's like such a life moment for me. It opened my world in so many ways. But let's leave it for the.
I have to say one thing about the holiday t-shirt. It's no longer available. Okay? It's really? Not the holiday anymore.
That's the Celebrate shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the ruling on this. I talked to the judges. And actually, the t-shirts are taking a week off. So even if you wanted a t-shirt, you could not get one today because there's going to be a surprise next week. So I'm building up momentum for this. Do not go to shirt.bro.show. Do not, because there is no t-shirt this week. There's a 1 week hiatus on t-shirts.
So in other words, you're telling me that the shirt is taking a week off?
That is correct.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. This has become such a problem. You know how many people have come up to me and said, where was the bro show last week? And you know what? It'd be so easy for me to say, well, we took a week off. That sounds so benign. That lacks any information. There's no substance to that. There's nothing there.
Well, you know why they say that? Do you know why they say that?
Why?
They say, or they think it's reasonable to take a week off because that show would have been between Christmas and New Year's, a time when many, 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 many endeavors are put on hold for the holidays.
But it's such an easy trap.
Why is it a trap, John?
It's a trap because it lacks transparency. It doesn't really say anything when you say, I took the week off. The truth needs to be told as to why we took the week off.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I'm going to tell you right now, people don't realize how hard it was to stop the streak. You know, when I thought about what happened last week, you know, the first thing I thought about was July 4th, 1939. Lou Gehrig gets up there and makes that speech.
Jesus.
I remember in April of that year is where he stopped the streak. We basically stopped our streak. This is something that's hard for us to handle. And I think that people, we could easily slough it off and say, well, we took the week off. But that is not the bro show work ethic.
No, it's not.
I mean, he's in a hospital. We're going to do a show.
That's the way it rolls
with the bros.
Yeah, it's true. It does. You're right about that. I can't argue
with
that.
So the problem we have here is we did not do a bro show last Saturday.
Mm.
It was between, as you've accurately pointed out, it was between Christmas and New Year. Why not? Was it work off? I don't think so.
Mm.
And you know what? I've got to be the person. And there's another thing that's important about this. Because
what's that?
There's vile, vicious innuendos, rumors going on out there as to why.
What are they?
I'll tell you right now. Here's one.
Okay.
The star of the show, who remain nameless. He OD'd on PECs.
Oh, performance enhancement coffee?
Yes. Another one was that he's taking steroids.
Well, that I am taking steroids, but you're not. You're rubbing them on your body, though.
I am. So the fact is, those rumors, those innuendos, I want to let people know are the truth.
Well, they are. They have truth
they are,
in
they
them.
They have truth in them.
Yeah, but are they the truth?
Let's not cover up that truth.
Are they the truth, though?
Yeah, really not. They're just a cover-up. Because what happened was that prior to the Christmas show, the star of the show went on a rant of immense proportions.
That's so surprising.
His acts were so unprofessional, insubordinate. You know, you unfortunately, you know, I'm sure the audience is saying, gee, why did we get to hear that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was the problem, actually.
that is a problem.
Yeah.
But these acts, this rant was so self-absorbed, so self-centered, so self-delusional, so self-justifying, so self-serving. It's so self-fill in the blank, what the hell? It was at that.
Here he goes. Buckle now, up, kids.
The problem is that what does one do when they do something of that behavior? They overreact.
Really? You?
And guess what happened? So we ended up doing the show just before Christmas. And here I am, star, overreacting. I put that show on autopilot. I was the weak-willed wimp, cream puff McDuff.
Oh, man.
So.
Do you have the whip out, or are you like beating yourself right now? Go ahead.
So.
You gotta do
as
it.
A result, I needed to do something to indicate or at least remind me of my bad boy behavior, my bad bro behavior, actually.
Mm.
And I had a self-imposed suspension. And it made me feel better. You know why? Because big radio stars, usually when I was a kid, they wouldn't be on the air for a week because they were suspended by the... And that's what I feel, that's what I needed.
Wow.
I needed somebody to corral me, to clear the slate, so I can now take all that weak-willed bullshit out and become the hardcore, edgy bro that needs to be on the air.
Oh, so wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So you're like taking a thorn to remove a thorn.
Exactly.
One
I need to pull out the thorn and get a bigger one and stick it back in. And it's going to be on the same puncture point, too.
No, you're so fucked up. That is not the way thorns work.
You know what? The problem is I don't have any thorny experience.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I thought that was you that went to Vietnam. I guess not. That sounded thorny.
Yeah. Well, save that one for another show. You know, the other thing is I want to point out, though, that you mentioned the fact that you take steroids. I take steroids.
Yeah.
I put steroids on my back because I've got this rash, which, well, that was caused by steroids. Well, that's another steroid story.
It wasn't caused from whipping yourself?
No.
Okay.
Ooh. No, it wasn't. Ooh. No, it wasn't.
Ooh. What a bad boy.
So, listen, I'm hoping to clear the slate and get back to where I need to be to make the show what we want it to be. And that's what my mission is. And I'm going to start off. It's a new year.
Yeah.
It's a new bad bro.
Woo.
And that's what it's all about.
Wow.
So I just wanted to get that off my chest and keep my shirt on.
Yeah. Watch out for your nipples. Okay. Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Say, something I never expected to happen kind of snuck up on me. And this is my bad. I love Da Bears.
Yeah.
But for a long time, they're pretty unlovable, except this season.
Mm.
What did they do, John?
They won the Central Division, the NFL Conference Central Division, and made it to the playoffs.
Mm.
And they're actually going to be playing on Sunday. And I'll tell you, the Bear fans are so hyped up about this that I heard on the news, one of the newscasters was so hyped up. They said, wait a minute. We're playing the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. So therefore, if we beat the Eagles, we become Super Bowl champs, don't we?
You know, I think Chicago's got a problem. It might be the water, or it might be Marion Cousins or something. But
yeah, I don't know.
Something's not quite right there.
Yeah, I think you're correct. But, I mean, there is Bear-a-mania. The Bears are back again. So
the Bears are back in town.
Yes, exactly. And they've actually gotten those three guys from Saturday Night Live. They've got new ones out. And they've come up with new songs.
Whoa. And,
yeah. So
Did they have Mini Ditka? Remember Mini Ditka?
All they do is they show a little photo of Ditka while they're doing their song and their shtick.
Wow.
It's somewhere between rock and roll and a Milwaukee and a polka from Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, I can imagine. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay. So the Bears are going to be, it's going to be great. So it's a hyped up game. It's in everybody's, you know, the weather's going to be great. It's going to be 3 o'clock Central, 3:45 maybe, but the hype will start earlier. In fact, I was asking a friend of mine who, Jeremy, who's a coworker at the Center for Humans and Nature. I said, Jeremy, well, when are you getting to the game? When are you going to start getting ready for the game? He says, we got some beer in the fridge. Let's start now. So we started getting ready for the game yesterday Friday afternoon as soon as Brooke left.
That's your president.
Yeah. Once we said, Brooke has left the building. Brooke has left the building. Pop that beverage.
Wow. You are a party guy.
I have my moments. So, by the way, speaking of parties, what did you do? What at New Year's Eve, did anything exciting happen to you?
Yeah, two very exciting things happened to me. About 11:30, I decided, well, I'd put it off for a couple of days because I wanted to start the new year with a new catheter.
Mm.
So I changed out my catheter, and I asked Mary Jane if she wanted to help but be part of the festivities, and she declined for some reason. I know, right?
Boy, that's a line you could use on the in the CS Clark Street. Would you like to come in the restroom in the bathroom and help me change my catheter?
Yeah. Could you hold? Could you hold my lubricant?
The only problem is the way you hit on the ladies with the doggone wheelchairs. That wheelchair would be hard to get in the men's room.
I don't know. I think I could do it. Those are big doors. I looked.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I got that.
You could also use the beer garden. Just lock the door.
Wow, the shrinkage would be so bad. I'd never be able to get it in.
Like you'd have to put a.
Who has a magnifying glass?
Yeah. Yeah. All points bulletin.
Yeah. Jerry's penis appears to be hiding from the wall.
Oh God!
I know it's a sad moment, but John, that's not all I did.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it because I was getting a little worried.
Yeah. So much closer to midnight, I did my nails, and I got a picture of them in the show notes. New style for 2019. That's my major theme. New style.
That two-tone stuff is really good.
I got a lot of compliments on this one: turquoise and black.
Yeah.
Both of them flat, not shiny. They seem to absorb faraway stars. I mean, these things are deep and dark.
Mm.
But the turquoise is, of course, bright turquoise, but it does not, you know, sparkle at all. These are both really nice. And as of today, John, no chips.
Good. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so far so good. The 2019 is starting out well for me. New catheter, new nails. And what more could I really ask for?
Well, unfortunately, on New Year's Eve, I had to work.
Oh, what were you doing, John?
Well, I had to go down. It's year end, and as a good accountant, I had to make sure that certain things were taken care of.
We're shredded.
I had my old, that's my doc shred I do here for my personal papers, but that's always an exciting day for me. Doc day.
I bet it is. Do you like play All the President's Men in the background or something?
No, I do it close enough to Christmas and New Year's that I can usually find something festive on the TV.
We're going to talk about that today too, aren't we?
Yeah, but the deal is that I had to work. So as a result, it's hard for me to go right from work into the festive mode because, God, that's a lot of time. Let's say you get off work at 6 o'clock and you got to make it all the way to midnight. But one of the things that was kind
sounds of like it would be time for tasty beverages.
Well, I had a little hook that was going to kind of get me into the Clark Street, and that was the Northwestern bowl game, football game, playing Utah State.
Ooh.
So I figured
the Utes.
So what happened was that the game starts about 6:30, and I go into Clark Street, and there's nobody there, which is probably good because I know that if Northwestern starts screwing up, I'm going to be hollering and screaming at the TVs. And it's kind of hard when you have to scream at like four of them. So you got to go up and down the bar hollering at each one of them.
Exercise program.
Yeah. It's good. It has its pluses, no doubt. So what happens? I'm ranting, raving, screaming. It's like they're losing like 20-3 at halftime. And I thought, oh, this is so bad. And in addition to the fact, I said, this is my exit. So I'm not going to have to hang till New Year's. I'll just quietly exit. Don't have to holler during halftime. I don't need to watch the highlights and holler again or lowlights. And sure enough, a couple of guys come in. And what do? I pop open some pistachios.
Oh, wait a minute. Define pop open. Is that a beverage?
Well, what I do is I have a nut sack.
I can't believe you say that every time.
Well, you asked the question. Well, I popped open the sack and I pulled out a few nuts.
Pop open a sack.
Okay, I opened the sack. I didn't like smash it and pop it open.
Did you give it an archaeectomy or what?
I got the sack right here, okay.
Ooh, that could make a nice instrument.
Yeah.
It's percussion all the way. Yeah.
So I opened the sack, pulled out a few nuts, and we started cracking. And we cracked and cracked and cracked. And sure enough, out of all of that, I did suffer a torn nail. So I'm on the DL still right now. I can't be...
The defined DL for the non-sports.
Oh, that's disabled list.
Thank you.
There was a little pain to my torn thumbnail for a couple of days, but I'm at the point now in my injury process that it's recovering and I'm on an upswing. I think that I'll be ready to get back into the cracking mode by probably a week from today. So
that's good to know.
But in the interim,
yeah,
we're eating those nuts and the game comes back on. And I'm the kind of guy that kind of roots on as things get better. And within 10 minutes, the Northwestern Wildcats scored 3 touchdowns. And
what?
I was just in a – yeah.
What?
And in the third quarter in total, they were 28 unanswered points.
John, I have to say something at this point. I would redefine your injury.
It was
– a flesh sacrifice.
I like that.
Yeah.
I took one for the team.
Yeah. I mean, this is pure Sundance material.
So I was so shocked that the third quarter, all I did was just stare at the TV with my mouth wide open, gaping open, and just couldn't believe what I was watching. And just saying, when is this dream, this fantasy going to come to an end? When is it going to crash?
It didn't.
So what happened was that sure enough, they didn't do anything. They held off in the fourth quarter. No more points scored by the Utes, and sure enough, they come away victors, 31-20. But what I did was I then rode that wave. That became a celebratory wave that rode all the way to midnight.
Wow!
So I ended up
staying.
And I'll tell you, as soon as 12 hit, you know, everybody came in. Kasia came in. A lot of the bar.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, and so it was all good, and I said, "What the hell." I didn't have my bike, thank God. I just got out and at 12 and immediately got on a bus, which at that point in time, anything between midnight and 4 o'clock is free public transportation.
Oh.
So it all worked out. So it was excellent. I had a good New Year's Eve.
I have the only thing I can think of when I think of public transportation late at night in Chicago is Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Whiskey Business.
Oh, my God. What a scene that was on the L, or was that a train or whatever?
Yeah, it's elevated. That was the L, you know.
Yeah. Very, very unusual at that time. That was quite a movie at the time.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was, looked like University of Illinois. Oh, that's it. That's right in there, too. The two-tom lines that are, I think, most famous are, looks like University of Illinois, and the other one is...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which Ivy League school was he going for? I forgot. Princeton, Yale?
Princeton, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Princeton. It wasn't Harvard.
Yeah. No. I don't think it was Yale either. I think it was Princeton.
Yeah, whatever.
But in any case, the other one is that diatribe, that back and forth he did with Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men.
Ah! Oh.
You can't handle the truth. That is what Tom said. Tom was the one who was saying other things to get him to say
you
that.
You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Are we clear?
Up Crystal. Against the wall.
Yeah, Crystal, right? Are we clear? Crystal.
No, that's a movie that probably, it's one where you just kind of say, well, I'm going to put that back on for the last 15 minutes. Or the last 15 minutes goes a long way.
I thought his imitation of Jack Nicholson while he was planning for the case was even better. Yeah. And I also thought Demi Moore was amazing.
She was good.
I mean, she played the mousy, somewhat dim JAG lady.
Yeah. Trying to prove herself, didn't have the self-confidence, the assuredness that Tom did, that's for sure.
And not just that, she wore some spectacular spectacles.
Yeah.
And look, how can you make Demi Moore at that time look like anything but a scorching woman?
Yeah.
They did it.
They had to do some special stuff. Prosthetics. Prosthetics to give her that mouse look.
Give her that mouse look. God, these words are amazing. You're a wordsmith today.
Yeah.
John, I hate to ask you this, but I know that you made your flesh sacrifice and helped Northwestern win a game. That's pretty exciting.
Yes.
You got home in one piece. Mm-hmm. But I think something else happened over the holidays. During your suspension, actually, you kind of found a new niche.
I found my Christmas sweet spot.
Mm. I think it found you.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't end because one thing, you know, you got to wake up the next morning and you got to say, hey, look, it's a new year. It's a new me. It's a new bro. But I had a mission to accomplish that last day, the first day of the year, and that is there were 38 new Hallmark Christmas movies this year, and I had only seen 37 of them through New Year's Eve.
Amazing.
I had to get up, and at 8 o'clock, I had to watch the last number 38, and I am proud to say that I did it, and I enjoyed it.
I was there for the beginning of it, actually. We were talking on the phone.
And you know what? That's what's so good about these movies. I'll point it out in a little while. They are so predictable that you can be sitting here and kind of, you know, bouncing around, doing this, doing that, and say, well, you know what? Here we are halfway into the movie. You jump in, and it's like you haven't missed a beat. You're there. You're right on. So that's what I did. I felt like I was right there, had not missed a thing, just with a little background that I had seen at the beginning, because I know the things to watch. So as a result, I have been singing the praises of Hallmark throughout the whole Christmas season. Well, actually, the problem is, when is the season?
When is the season? And number two, you know, what does one do to absorb the kind of material you're talking about? Christmas cheer is what we're looking for. And is it only movies or what?
Well, the thing is that, let's just start with, when does this all begin for Hallmark? Just like Christmas is, you know, it used to be that Christmas started right after Thanksgiving. I think that's when it did. Like, if I remember, I have faint memories of that when I was a kid.
That's true, day after.
Yeah, and that now it starts
Black Friday.
It starts after Halloween.
Oh.
So we got a full month of November, and it's creeping a little bit into October. So the last week of October is when the Hallmark movie season begins. They start showing selectively, just sprinkling a few of their new movies out. So they stretch them out until they're seen by Christmas Day. And they have 38 of them on two of their channels. And it was just a real delight. So that's the setting. That's the time frame that we're talking about. So you get a chance to jumpstart your Christmas and get into that mood. And my feeling is that I don't need to put up a lot of decorations because I have the movie there with more decorations than I could even in three lifetimes have.
That's true.
So I put up my picture of Santa. I get out my Kleenex boxes that have Santa on them.
Which you cannot use.
No, of course not. Those are decorative. I learned that. That's my fault. I got to take some of the hit on that. I know I hollered at you about it, and I shouldn't have. That was a bad bro. I shouldn't have hollered at you then. I should have saved it all up and hollered at you a lot more some other time.
Oh, Jesus.
Which I did.
Oh, yeah, it's true. You did, didn't you? Boy, yeah. My brother gets mean.
Okay, but what we can do is we can talk a little bit about the Hallmark process. I mean, it's at the point now when I come into the bar, I say Hallmark, and the bar just goes silent because they want to know what's going on.
You could hear a pistachio shell.
You could hear a pistachio crack. Cracking good, that's for sure.
Wow.
And so I sing the praises of Hallmark to the extent that I actually
sing.
My client.
You actually sing?
Well, what I do is it's easy to sing the song because one of the things that's so nice about Hallmark, they get you right in the mood to start out with. They play a known traditional song when they do the credits at the beginning. So before you even begin, you got the beat. You're rocking with a traditional Christmas song, which is always good. But I can tell you that we ended up having not one but two Center for Humans and Nature Hallmark Christmas movie bashes. One was just our office party, but it just wasn't enough.
Was there another more private one, perhaps?
A more private one with
three
of the hardcore viewers of Hallmark.
Those would be
myself, Kate Cummings, and last but not least, Anya Claus.
And she's got the name.
She's got the name.
She's got it. That's the woman you're not crushing on.
I'll tell you right now, all I did was keep in constant contact to find out. And by the way, we've still got these movies are going through Sunday. And Anya said to me, she says, you know what? I'm feeling I need a Hallmark fix. I might have to go back to my father because we're watching these all in her father's apartment. He's in Thailand. Yeah. And on the 49th floor of the Marina City. And the thing is that she said to me, I might have to go back. And I said, look, I am one flexible guy. I'm here to help you. I said, you need to go back to the apartment and watch some more movies. I've got the popcorn to back you up.
Boy, that's a double entendre if I ever heard one.
Yeah, there's a lot of tundra there.
Yeah, frozen.
Yeah, I'm afraid it is. It's not stiff, though, that's for sure.
No, it's flexible. There are things you don't want to have flexible. I've been told.
Yeah, that doesn't go over big.
Wouldn't know.
Okay, so the 2018 Christmas movie scene. What we can do is we can talk about, there are so many different choices you have now. In our good old days, remember the good old days when on Christmas, we would just tear through the packages and we'd be at the theater.
Yeah.
By 11 o'clock. Maybe not watching watching a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and phones would ring in the house and stuff.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I can't stop that.
That's the police, probably.
Oh, I know. I should stop my landline.
Come on now. Come on.
Okay.
Don't lose your stuff.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I remember we saw three Bond movies 3 years in a row.
That's right.
And so we had a lot of fun, but that's the way that you get the Christmas spirit. You'd have to go to the theater or you'd have to watch a rerun of Miracle on 34th Street.
That's right. It's
White
a good life.
Christmas, Holiday Inn, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah,
all those.
It's a wonderful life.
All those movies.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that anymore. We've got so many choices. Right now, we've got two stations, Lifetime and Hallmark. Now, Hallmark put together 38, as we've already mentioned. It's a magic number for me, 38 this year. Lifetime had 14. They actually have showed up. This has become such a high viewer thing that Lifetime went from 8 movies in 2017. They came up with 14 new ones. Hallmark has been kind of on that high production road for some time. But right now, Hallmark has amassed 175 of these movies in their inventory.
What?
So you could spend over 2 weeks, 24/7, just watching new movies.
I can see you doing that. I can see you getting all the Mentalist coffee you can buy in town.
Yeah.
And drinking coffee for a week and staying up.
Yeah. So there's a lot of action out there when it comes to it. But then we've got the Netflix, and we're going to talk about a couple of their movies, which are, they really, what they do is, because there's not a lot of edge to Hallmark. That's comfort food. But if you need to have a little spice to your appetite when it comes to Christmas movies, you can go to Netflix and they've got some great choices. And I like them because they put a little edge to it. And so we'll talk a little bit about those.
Define edge, or are you going to do that later?
I think when we talk about that, I mean, Santa Claus becomes almost kind of a little bit human. I mean, Santa's where usually the edge comes. Okay.
Okay.
And we see the fallibility that can exist. You know, this. You know what? The fact is that Christmas Eve isn't necessarily a smooth ride for Santa.
Evidently not.
No. That's what we're going to learn through Netflix.
Okay.
But let's just quickly go through a couple of things that make the Hallmark movie process what it is. Because what we can do is we could actually come up with a template.
Ooh.
That would show, we could just fill in the blanks and you got it made. So one of the things that I like to do is I'll just give a couple of steps here that kind of demonstrate how it all works.
Okay.
And the fact is you start with a couple, female lead, a male lead. In the movie,
it may not be a couple at the start.
Well, the couple is two people. That's where that's our definition of a couple on the front end.
They're an uncouple.
Yeah, they are. It starts with their contentious meetup of sorts, and so they might know each other. They might not. Could be old high school sweethearts, whatever. Could be meeting for the first time. But either way, their encounter to start out with is going to have an unpleasant note to it, leaves each of them with a very frustrated feeling towards each other.
Yes.
But what happens?
It ripens to romance.
Because the couple will meet up again in some kind of unusual circumstances. And through that meetup, they'll either have to become a team or they will compete for something. And so as a result, the chance encounter that takes place ends up becoming something where they have to kind of know and understand. And
wow.
as that progresses to like what we would call the romance level, we have that moment of reckoning where we see a romance really kind of blossom, but not quite be fully there. And we know the culmination of romance in a Hallmark movie. What is it? It's a kiss at the end, culminating with a kiss. That's it.
Yeah, and a kind of not a chaste kiss, but no tongue. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's hard to say. They don't do any close-ups to really see how much their mouths are open when they do that lip lock.
Yeah. Well, I look very carefully, and there's no face chewing going on.
So what happens though is about 30 minutes before the movie ends. These are two-hour movies. There will be this moment of reckoning. Where either probably because of some misunderstanding, miscommunication, the romance appears to dissolve right before our very eyes.
When does that happen, John?
30 minutes before the end of the movie.
So predictably, about an hour, I might add.
It could be 31, it could be 34, it could be 28. But the key to the exercise is that at that moment that takes place, then what you've got is you've got this opportunity to watch how this romance through a little bit of slippage becomes a stronger bond. It's sort of like you go break your leg, you get it healed, and it becomes a stronger leg. This is what happens with romance. We need to have that moment.
Sounds like your suspension.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. Where you need to have that to clear the air. You need to have that moment to bring strength to that relationship. So that, and so like I said before, that stronger romance culminates with at the very end for the first time. They'll have a kiss.
Wow.
Now, how do we get through 2 hours? It's a lot of time.
Well, they have breaks where they have Hallmark breaks. They talk about some of their shit, and every once in a while they'll show another commercial, like for Lifetime even, right?
Yeah.
They're so confident. They're so confident.
But I'm just going to mention the kind of things now with the template that you then say, well, what are we going to do to fill up the time? Well, here's your choices. You could have snowball fights. You could have a snowman building. You could decorate. You could drink hot chocolate.
And make it.
And make it. Or you could make slash eat Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and the make Christmas cookies, that can get on steroids. Like, there's lots of gingerbread house competitions in these movies.
There is. I mean, there's a couple of them that are just called gingerbread. The gingerbread romance is a good example of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the setting could be urban, could be rural. It usually results in, it's one thing it's got to have, though, it's got to have plenty of decorations. I mean, the decorations are over the top.
They decorate so you don't have to.
That's exactly it. I don't need to decorate that much.
No.
I've got them right there. If you want more decorations, get a bigger TV.
Yeah. And
get a bigger screen.
Yeah. And you have that TV running all the time. So, I think literally you have your decorations up.
You do have them. And the other thing is that you can always, if you need that little spark, that further spark, on Christmas Day, one of the Hallmark channels has the standard, the old traditional Yule log.
Oh. we have talked about the catatonic Yule log in the past. We don't need to do it again.
Okay. We've done enough on that. So, but when it comes to their setting, often they have one of them coming back home. So usually it's where somebody's had, I'm coming home for the holidays, or there's some crisis at home. Mom died, now we got to sell the house, or all kinds of good stuff like that.
The business is in the shitter or something.
Yeah, the movie always starts, though, as I've mentioned before, with the playing of a known Christmas song to set the tone. So the good news is this predictive nature of the film gives the viewer plenty of flexibility in terms of how they concentrate, the concentration they need to enjoy it. So you can be doing something and have it on, and you're right there with it. You could be sitting down and eating Christmas cookies or drinking hot chocolate and intently watch. That's another level. But you have that flexibility. So there's this wholesome comfort you get. It's a comfort feeling knowing that you realize there's an end result. You're going to see a smackaroo at the end. And all we've got to do is ride that smooth ride as we get there. So I think that's all pretty good.
That is all pretty good. Damn. What's the worst and best Hallmark movie you've seen this year?
Well, what I'll tell you right now, there's the best. I'm going to go right to it.
Okay,
but let's start with the worst. Let's get that over with.
Yeah, take your.
There
medicine.
Was a movie which was based upon a true story that when I read what it was, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I said I read
too good
it,
to be,
and
too
I said
good
this
to be
is
true.
Too good. This is not Hallmark material because it's just too bizarre. Little did I know that the movie was based on a true life experience. And the experience was you have a beautiful young woman. And by the way, the women, when I say beautiful young, and we're talking about Hallmark movies.
Under 50.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhere about 30 to 50. A couple of them creep. Lori Loughlin has kind of become the matriarch of the Christmas scene. And by the way, I thought that she was getting some work done, but she wasn't. She's basically going the Cindy Crawford route with the fancy French guy who puts some slippery stuff on their face to make it wrinkle-free or something.
Slippery stuff on their face? God damn. Oh, man. Where do you come up with this stuff? Wow.
But let's get back to the matter at hand. What is the worst?
Your wife must have really had her hands full. Your designation of these items.
Oh, I was so bad. I mean, Marge would be spending time putting on the makeup, and I would, and we're late, and I'd say, "Dear, you don't need to do all that. You have such natural beauty." And she'd look at me and say, "What a crock!"
Yeah.
All I would do was get myself deeper in the doghouse. That's all.
Well, you had your own doghouse there. That's for sure.
I was in Bow Wow City all the way.
What was the stuff about her face? Slippery stuff? Is that what you called it?
Oh, that's Cindy. I mean, the problem is there's infomercials with that stuff you can watch like at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's how I learned about Lori. And not going she wasn't under the scalpel at all.
Oh.
She strictly went the natural route with Cindy, which I felt so good about. It made me easier to watch her
I
entry.
I might have to check that out. I'm a little alarmed at my appearance.
Here's the thing. The thing is that this movie, so what happens is this beautiful girl finds out that she's a little bit fatigued because she's got stage 4 liver disease. Now, they never call it cancer. It's disease.
Wow.
And what happens is she finds out that her liver is down for the count. I mean, it's right now. The clock is ticking. And she needs a transplant yesterday. So,
wow.
And it's right around Christmas time. So through they go through a big campaign to try to get and they don't, when it comes to, you know, you learn a little medicine with these movies too.
Oh,
you know, you think liver transplant. Well, you just take one liver and put it in somebody else's body. You don't need a full liver.
They grow.
They do. So as a result, you can take a partial of a liver and give it to a person and you're fine. Your liver will, like you said, grow and come back and it'll be a happy ending there. So what happens is they find a young man who this is where the movie takes a turn in my book, and I had this all kind of the support with respect to my feelings with the whole Center for Human Nature staff, because we use this as our marquee movie for our Christmas party, and we were there watching it.
What could go wrong?
Oh, so here's what happens.
Everything.
So we got the donor. Through some happenstance, they come together. They got all the great scenes, but the guy, it's like there's no emotions. He says, they're both there. Like, of course, before they go into the operating room, they show a nice picture of both of them together in the hospital beds, the surgery beds, and the girl looks over, and she says, "Oh, I'm nervous," and he says, "Oh, I'm not," and he's got like this Joker smile. He's the only thing he doesn't have on is face paint. I mean, it's just like his expression is scary stuff.
Ooh.
And then you think back. Wait a minute. Now, I will give you the real guy, but I'm going to first talk to you about the Hallmark role
actor.
The actor. He plays a guy who was in the service, but he's lived his whole life, adult life, with his mother. And the biggest decision this guy makes through the movie, in addition to, of course, it's sort of like even the decision to give this deliver, there was no, it was like, oh, of course, that's what I would do. That's my life. I like to do this. No, his big decision was whether his mother's Christmas cookies were good or not.
Well, that sounds like a good job.
Yeah, all he had to do was eat damn cookies and, you know, basically give
them. And deal with his PTSD.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what the angle they should do. Mm-hmm. But here's where they miss the boat, because here's on Home and Family, which is the like morning show for Hallmark. They have the real couple on, and I can tell you right now, the woman, the real woman, looked as good, if not better. She was choice. She was really outstanding. And here's where they missed the boat. The guy had a motorcycle. He was a little bit older. But it all worked out, this and that. So as we move on with the and talk about the movie, what happens is they have the operation, and they continue to kind of interact to some extent. But the woman feels the pressure. And this is what I felt was interesting, was that she felt the pressure. Now, how do I react to this guy? Because I have feelings for him. But are those feelings based upon his benevolent act, or are those really emotional, romantic feelings? So what does he do to kind of seal the deal? She didn't have good insurance or something, so she used all her college funds to fund her operation. So he does a fundraiser for her, in which he basically raffles off a big motorcycle. And that's as close as we see to this guy getting on a cycle. If he just would have gotten on a cycle and raced around with her on the back of it, that would have been good.
If he had used the cycle, he wouldn't have seemed like a psycho.
Exactly. So, I mean, you watch this guy, and he's so pleasant in such a unemotional way that you say there's got to be a serial killer there or something.
Wow.
And so, as a result, it just didn't ring true. Now, Hallmark movies are usually rated in the sixes. Now, in an IMDb user rating, six, you know, would be like an average, because good movies, you know, theatrical movies are usually in the seven. Good ones are 7.5, 8,
right.
Might even creep. A classic might go close to 9.
Ooh.
These movies are 6.5. I did an average, 6.52 for all 38 movies.
Wow.
Now here's where it gets scary.
See, anything above 6, I'll watch.
Yeah. I can tell you right now that there were only 3 or 4 of them that were below 6, and there were 3 or 4 of them that were above 6. And
wow.
The highest rating was given to this movie 7.7.
With the creepy guy.
Yes. And it was all based upon people just like the story, I guess, and didn't really take a look at this clown. You know, this guy could have been, he was just too much for me.
Okay.
So I would say that was my worst, even though it got got a very high rating.
That's ironic.
Yeah.
That's ironic. And your coworkers felt the same way, I understand.
Now, the one I think I liked the best,
there's a lesson here. Okay. Ratings and reviews don't mean everything.
They don't. I mean, it's understanding the reviewer. I can tell you right now that quite often one of these movies actually had something that was very realistic. It had a couple that was coming together for like a family reunion, and the guy decided that he was going to take that moment with his girlfriend to propose to her. He proposed, and she kind of went through the motions and said, look, this isn't real. I'm going to have to back out of this proposal. And it's like, wow. It got these bad ratings because everybody says, we don't want real life here. You got to stick to the script. This doesn't work. And all of a sudden, which I thought was really good, because obviously it's going to turn out okay at the end. They're not necessarily, they're going to be back on the track to romance by the end of the movie.
Yeah, they'll fall apart.
They'll recover,
at the 90-minute mark, and they'll be smooching by the 120-minute mark.
Yeah, but the problem here is that this moment of reckoning was so early. It had more than one, and it just basically shook up the viewers. They couldn't take it.
Wow.
Because they are interested in watching something with comfort food. They want to be eating popcorn the whole time.
Yeah,
they don't want to get and they don't even want to put any Tabasco sauce on their popcorn.
Oh, that is
That's
strict.
How bad it is.
That's strict.
Now, I have certain favorites, and these favorites are they're veterans, what I call...
No, hold on. I just have to point out we have 8 minutes left.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane with Alicia Witt. Alicia is so good. She's a child star that has graduated into becoming... She's a concert pianist who writes her own songs. I've gone and see her play live. Not that I'm obsessed with her.
No.
I do make sure I get a very close seat and that I try to get her to smile at me if I can. But it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't.
Well, the key thing there is not to sit next to a transvestite, I think.
A lad was a problem. That's another problem. Let's not worry about that.
Okay.
So she was in a movie, and she had a very good co-star, a guy named Colin Ferguson. Now, I don't, I'm not, I do have a tendency to kind of do some in-depth analysis or research on the individuals.
No.
Colin is one of your standard Canadian actors. There's a lot, I would say about probably at least 40% of the late female / male leads, and primarily male leads, are from Canada. Colin fits into that category.
That's right.
He's a veteran. He's been in other movies. He's actually in a real good one with Lori Loughlin last year. But this one, he went to McGill, and I always have a lot of respect for college, and that's one of the better schools in Canada. So it had a mystery element to it. She's coming back she's a lawyer. She's coming back. She's at a crossroad with respect to her career. She's got a couple of siblings, and they find out that their mother was engaged prior to the relationship he had, obviously, with her parents. And so that's the mystery piece that comes together. And Colin plays a guy who has a antique shop. So they're getting ready to sell the family house, and they got to go through all the stuff that's in it, and that's how they find out about this. So I like the mystery element.
Yeah, so discovery. Discovery is fun.
It's a 6.4 rating. So I mean, it's over the road rating for me, it's spot on. So I like Alicia. She has a kind of a clumsy way of kind of walking around. She's real human.
That's true.
Good. So, but you've got the I would say when you talk, if you had to give a Lifetime Achievement Award for Hallmark actors and actresses, I think it has to go to Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah, she is a real trooper.
She's been on a lot of Hallmark, including 9 Hallmark movies. I can't give her my favorite movie thing this time. She was in a movie called Shoe Addict's Christmas.
Yeah, I remember.
And it had that time element where she clicks her heels and she goes back and forth in time. So, that one didn't quite. One of the things, so those are the two. That my best would be the one with Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane, Alicia Witt. And then that would be the one I would enjoy the most. A couple of other things I'd like to point out that with Hallmark. Hallmark has gotten a reputation of being like squeaky white clean.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they realize that they need to do something. So what they've done is they made some inroads in use of minority actors to the point that four of the 2018 movies had blacks in male and female roles.
Well, they have white blacks.
Well, yeah, some of them, And I don't know what you mean by that. Do you mean their skin even, black?
No, not at all.
What do you mean? Can't,
if you close your eyes, you would not be able to tell they're black.
I would say most of the time that would be the case.
Yeah, not all the time, though.
And many of the support roles are filled by minorities, often having positions of authority. So quite often you'll see one of the female leads has to report to a black woman. Okay?
Right. That's true.
One of the things this year that I was very disappointed in, because I think one of the hooks that you have with these movies as a side story is to give a little levity, is to have kids in them and dogs. The kids always get the best lines, okay? They're the ones who look brilliant while the adults look like idiots. And dogs can be used quite often with humor. I'll tell you right now, I think I've seen one movie where way in the background there was a dog. And I've seen virtually little with kids. So I'm kind of disappointed. I think they need to get back on
more
kids and dogs in the movies.
Yeah, I agree. So we're running out of time, but you know what?
Okay.
Two movies of note that I want to mention. One is Christmas Chronicles. One is Christmas Chronicles, and the other is Get Santa. Both of these, I can't go into a lot of detail, but let's just put it this way. If you want to see Santa get out of a jail, a county lockup, Cook County, and also get out of a prison in England, these are your movies. They're very different movies, but they're very much the same.
They are.
100% British with a little Monty Python and Time Bandits thrown in, and the other is 100% American, takes place in Chicago, and
by way of Toronto.
Exactly. And so they're both worth watching. I'll save note. And we have a great sponsor, and I want John to tell us about
Gorilla Glue. It's amazing. I got Gorilla Glue in my Christmas stocking. I also got some coal in my stocking, too.
Mm. Yeah.
There's that other story. But, man, that was deserved. We know that.
Yeah.
So the Gorilla Glue, I got a little packet of it. And what happened was, I am what you call mechanically declined. Anything that requires repair, unfortunately, the repair person in my life was my wife. She could repair anything. She had the tool. She carried the toolbox in our family. So what happened was, after I got that glue, I broke a magnet off of my refrigerator mag, and it was one of my favorites one of my wife's favorites, Marge's favorites.
The mouse.
It was a mouse eating watermelon, and I had it right there beside a picture of her. And I thought, oh, jeez.
Yeah, that could ruin the whole holiday.
Gorilla Glue. I couldn't believe it. It's like,
what did it do, John?
It has a way of taking the material and bonding it so that it comes back as strong as it was before.
Almost like brothers.
Yes, exactly.
They could call it brother glue.
Glue. So as a result, this was my first experience with Gorilla Glue. It was a very positive one. It has a sad note for me, and that is I was thinking, you know, what about those coffee cups? I had a coffee cup where basically the handle just came off. it isn't like I broke it because it was a million pieces.
No, you were using it.
I was using it so much that I just accidentally hit the cup against something, and all of a sudden I'm carrying a handle in the cup. It didn't break. And I thought, you know what? I could have used Gorilla Glue, and what did I do? I didn't have it. So here's what I would say. I would say that if I can use Gorilla Glue, anybody can. And I didn't realize the number of products that are out there as it relates to Gorilla Glue.
They got everything.
There is so much.
Well, they had a good name. And they made their bones with a kind of wood glue. I don't know if you knew this, but this stuff, I started using it like 20 years ago and when they first came out, and it's amazing. What happens is you put it on one side of a piece of wood, then you put the wood together, and what happens is you put it in a clamp, it foams up in the center and forces itself into all the cracks and crevices. And this was a big breakthrough, and that's how they made their bones. And then they got into super glue, super tape, you name it. They've got it, right, John?
If they do. And in the application thing, I mean, one of the things you hear, the horror stories about super glue is, well, don't get it on your fingers and press them because all of a sudden you're losing skin. Yeah. The applicator is, it keeps you from, it's so good.
It's like a little brush or something, isn't it?
Well, it's actually, first thing is,
trowel, you've got a flexible trowel.
And you pour, you actually take the applicator and you screw it into the end so that you, with the tube I have.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to worry about this, getting your hands on it, on the glue to start out with. And so it works out very well. And then it has a cap you put on top so it doesn't dry up. So I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not looking forward to breaking something, but I feel that I can sleep well knowing that if I do, I've got the glue to back me up.
Whoa, let's hear for Gorilla Glue. That's great. Got a groaner, John?
I have two. I mean, Vincent Anthony Lauder. Okay. You said his name right. I didn't finish it. Anthony Lauder Jr.
That's my brother, John.
He is known as the coach. Not the coach, the coach.
The coach. The coach is somebody else.
Here we go.
All right, I'm ready.
What's the definition of successful acupuncture? What is the definition of successful acupuncture?
Don't know.
A jab well done.
Oh, I would have never guessed that. Now that's a pun.
Yeah, I guess it is. Okay.
By definition, it's a groan.
Okay, I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
What do you call a number that can't keep still? What do you call a number that can't keep still?
I was going to say a variable, but I know that's not right.
That's not bad. A Roman numeral.
Another pun.
I'm having way too much fun.
All right. We clocked in at 62 minutes and 5 seconds, and I'm proud of you, John.
Oh, well, I did it. I'm trying. I'm working on it, okay?
You're very trying.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I like that. Keep it up. Have a good day.
See you too. Bye. Bye.
Sometimes my mind goes crazy suddenly. It all keeps happening.